She Did It Her Way podcast, episode 262, The Importance of the Journey on the Way to Achievement with Lori Harder. Hello and welcome to She Did It Her Way, a podcast dedicated to helping you launch a business that allows you the freedom to create from anywhere, design your own schedule in a way that supports you, and pursue what it is that lights you up. I'm Amanda Boleyn, your host, and it is time to do it your way. I'm so grateful to just be able to have just 30 minutes of your time and your energy and just your wisdom today. So thank you so much. And kudos. Oh,
thank you. I'm so grateful you're sharing your show with me. So I'm like so excited.
Okay. Awesome. Oh, I love that. I just love following you and like your energy is so great and you're so welcoming. So it's amazing. Okay. Well, let's get started.
Thank you. Likewise, sister.
Yeah. And I know, Lori, so like for you in the past 10 years, you mentioned that you've awakened new curiosities in addition to your love for fitness. And you described that in the past 8 years, you've had epic failures, disastrous relationships, business ideas that have gone up in flames. And you mentioned that you almost threw in the towel. Like, what, take us back to that moment and what stopped you from throwing the towel in?
Oh, honestly, I mean, I still have throw in the towel moments, but I know what to tap into now. So let's just go back to a few of the throw in the towel moments. You know, I think there were so many times where you feel, and I think a lot of people listening to this, if not everyone, can relate. What we used to see, and it's getting a bit more transparent now, but even what we, to be honest, even what we see now on social media and what we think the journey is supposed to look and feel like is completely different than what the journey actually is. And it's not that the journey is bad. It's that if you have a perception that this journey to finding yourself, to having these achievements, to living this life of bliss or whatever that looks like for you, getting that thing, getting the job, you know, having the accomplishment, feeling like you live in the healthy, fit body that you want, is if we have this idea and this perception that it's meant to all of a sudden feel like euphoria and we've made it and all of the friends should come and the right people and the guys and all of the things that we want in the world, the friendships, whatever, then it's going to be a completely different than we think. So I'm really, what I really want to do is demystify what that journey looks like and also why we are supposed to do it with Tribe, because there were so many, like you had talked about, like throw in the towel moments where maybe I would get the achievement that I thought I wanted. Like, you know, for 6 years I competed and did not in fitness competitions, which if you don't know what that is, it's kind of like those things you see on ESPN where people are either jumping around or they're up on stage, like trying to be the most fit they can possibly look. That's what I did for 6 years because I thought that that was the way that I would be able to be a fitness influence, that I could become like a Jillian Michaels or that I could be on these magazine covers and give back to all of the women the way that the women on magazine covers and who were fitness influences in my life gave me a path and kind of showed me a way. So I was competing for 6 years and it wasn't until the sixth year that I actually won. And what happened is I didn't just win. I won 3 world championships in 1 year, which had never
happened. Oh my gosh.
So you'd think that I would be like, this is amazing. I did it. I'm so happy. Everything's coming to me. And it was actually the opposite. And I'm not telling this story to be like, oh, poor me. I won 3 competitions. It's really about saying, you know, this journey on the way there, you know, after I won, I went up into my hotel room and no one was around me. And it was just me and my husband like drinking champagne in the room, which was amazing for about 30 minutes. And then it was like, where is everybody? Like what now? No one was knocking down my door. No one was like, you're awesome. Let's put you on a cover now. You know, I had to do all of that myself as well. And I just thought, if this is what it's like it just continues to be lonely and striving just to get these achievements that actually feel pretty lonely once you get them, because what we don't realize is that the thought and the hope around the achievement is actually fueling us quite a bit. It's actually giving us a lot of energy. It's giving us a lot of, you know, just vitality in life. And then when you get it, if you think that's what you were striving for and waiting for, mm-hmm. it's very different on the other side. So it's about, what I realized is it was so about the journey on the way there. And it was a big wake up call for me because I thought I missed it. Like I really missed that this was about the relationships and the struggle and who I've become in the process. And, you know, what am I doing with these titles for myself? Like, how can I use this as a platform? How can I make sure that I'm being really fulfilled in doing what I love and giving back in a way that I love so that I can always, you know, find my own fulfillment and find my own validation within myself? Because I thought that these things were going to validate me, but instead they exhausted me and made me feel worse. So it just opened up this huge journey to me to be like, wow, if we're not actually trying to make the connections and relationships while making sure we are doing the things that are fulfilling for us, you exhaust yourself because we're not meant to do it alone.
Yeah. I mean, thank you for sharing that. And that's such a great point too. I think even as, you know, from my own personal experience as a business owner, sometimes we romanticize when we're in a corporate environment mm-hmm. and we see entrepreneurs and we're like, that's so amazing. They can go to a coffee shop. They can travel. They can do what they want. They can work from a laptop. And then when you get to that stage, while it's amazing, there's just so much more to that stage. And I love how it's, you know, investing in the journey along the way, because it's never done. And you just keep improving to keep growing.
Oh my God. Can we just talk about that for a second? Because I really want people to know if we don't create relationships and tribe, what entrepreneurship can look like. Because, you know, when I was at home at my desk, like, oh, this is, you know, this is great. Like I had just actually been able to gift one of my friends my gym that I had opened. Like it was just this beautiful, you know, because I was all about achievement for a while. And I was like able to gift my gym. And I thought this is the best because now all my clients can go to somebody else. Like, this is amazing. They're all taken care of. And I no longer have to be in my gym, like one-on-one training with these people. I thought it was like open road from there. I'm like, yes, I'm in euphoria. I can be an entrepreneur. I'm going to stay home and talk to all these people and be living my dream. And I get home and like, I'm so lonely.
It's so true. Oh, like living in a silo.
Oh my God, I found, and really, I'm going to be super honest here. Like, I found myself going back to my self-sabotaging ways because I was so isolated and so lonely that what we start to do is kind of like numb and comfort ourselves. So I was finding myself sitting in front of the refrigerator more than I was my computer. And I was like,
oh, I do like procrastination eating all the time. And then I was like, I need to track my eating because I'm eating way too much like macadamia nuts. I'm eating way too much food.
Yeah.
During
you're
the day,
bored.
Because you're bored, and it's a way to subconsciously distract yourself from actually getting work done that you need mm-hmm. to. And there's so much more going on. But yes, sorry, keep going.
I love that you shared that because it's the truth, and I think people need to hear it. So we not only have to, you know, if you want to be an entrepreneur, it's not just about, you know, yes, you get to stay home, you get to help all these people online, but if you don't have almost the in-person connection or going to meet people or having like an online tribe where it's not just like, hey, how are you like writing it on your keyboard, but where you actually do Zoom or you have conversations like we're having right now. If you don't have your day set up in that way where you support yourself through the relationships that you're creating in your life, it is going to be one of the loneliest, longest, toughest roads. And I walked it for you. So let me just tell you, I more like dragged myself and cried like, well, I thought this was supposed to be so awesome. And it was, you know, when I say lonely, I mean, that's what it felt like. I'd sit at my desk and you'd kind of, when you don't have that connection, it's like there's no energy in your life because mm-hmm. energy really comes from our beautiful relationships and connections, right? When we have these conversations, even with total strangers at the coffee shop, when we're walking our dog, you notice that your energy level is uplifted. So when you're at home totally alone and you only have maybe, you know, people to text or like online communication that's not actually speaking, you lose energy and you lose life because I really believe that we know science is even proving it now that we are healthier and happier and living longer when we feel like we have supportive groups to connect with. So what happens is when you have no energy and you have no life, I don't care how much work you think you're going to get done, you end up procrastinating, numbing out, and staring at your computer. Yeah, you'll get stuff done, but you'll push your way there and it will be exhausting.
Mm-hmm. And the energy imbalance. So, you know, you also mentioned too, like, in the past 8 years, you, if you were to break out the past 8 years of your life in terms of like, okay, year 1 to 3 was this stage and year 4 to 5 was this stage, how would you break it up? Because if someone just comes and meets Lori Harder, they look at her Instagram, they look at her website, they look at everything she's built and is like, dang, lucky, or like, you know, think thoughts of like, that's crazy success. But like, show us the stages of the past 8 years that you took in your life to arrive at your journey at this point.
Oh, what a good question. So I would say, let's say, so that would put me at about 30, 31 years old. So I'm living back in Minneapolis. I had my gym at this point. You know, I'm going to go back even a little bit more for you. Yeah. So you can really see where that turning point was. So at about, I married my husband at 24 years old. And so now I'm 37, just to give you an idea. And I was like, when I married him, I had massive panic attacks. I had anxiety. I was not, you know, I knew in my soul that I was meant to do big things, except I was trapped on the outside in someone's life that I couldn't even recognize. Mm. I was still partying all the time. You know, my husband and I, once we got married, we just partied on the weekends together. And I was taking jobs that were way below what I knew I was capable of. And just like, you know, I'm the person like at that job that they're like, holy crap, you organized this and you did that and you did all these things. I was just like this overachiever at low, like paying jobs. So, you know, I was a barista and I was like the best freaking barista in the world.
Yeah.
But the thing is I would not leave because I was so afraid that, you know, people would find out like, oh, she was homeschooled. She doesn't have this great education. She's not smart enough. Like this is what was going on in the back of my mind, even though in my soul, I knew I was meant for more. So that was a huge thing for me. I played this not smart enough thing for so long in my mind because I was homeschooled through high school. Like what? And you know, I'm moving in these bigger cities, which weren't big cities at all. Now that I live in California, I'm like, really? Okay.
But if they had a mall, like to your environment and that, you know, as a child, we were raised, I know you were raised, I think at Marquette, Michigan. And yes. Just so much of when we're younger in the first 12, 14 years of our life, like so much is embedded in the cellular level of like how we think and how we act that it's so like as an adult to really come aware of that and to say, okay, I know that something's not aligned.
Yes. It's so true. So it was, my soul was speaking to me the whole time. So I'm taking these jobs. And then at about 26 or 27, I had started doing fitness competitions, which was really scary. It was actually a way for me to, I knew that if I did something really big that it would help me with this anxiety and panic. And I knew if I didn't do something really big that and I'm not even kidding you, this was the thought in my head. I'm like, I'm headed for a padded room because I feel like I'm going crazy because I was isolating myself. Me and my husband were moving around a lot. I didn't have any friends. It was really easy for me while he went off to work. I would just like freaking clean the house over and over and go to these jobs that were, you know, like they were dead end jobs. I did not love them. I was doing sales. I was working at the front desk of a hair salon. And I was like, I have got to do something. So I was doing fitness competitions. And then I also said, okay, I need to get my personal training certification. So I did that. I was too scared to start training right away. So it took like another year to work at an LA Fitness. And that LA Fitness only paid me $6 per 30 minute session.
Wait, what?
For real. So
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So I was working back to back to back to back and I was selling out trainings because I was a great trainer, but I was exhausted because these were 30 minute sessions. So sometimes I could see, you know, 10, 12 people in a day. And that is like so many people to be seeing when you're training.
Yeah.
You know? And so at that time, my husband was in banking and mortgage. And of course, if you can remember back to 2007, what happened, we lost everything. He lost his job. We lost our house. We sold our cars. We had to move into a one bedroom small condo. And I was like, I have to do something big. So I opened my own studio, but it was just one-on-one. It wasn't this huge studio. In fact, I opened it in an unfinished basement at first. And I just started to hustle. And that's, you know, because I was forced to. And I have to be honest, like, you cannot rob people of their rock bottoms, because if I did not hit that, I would never be where I'm at today. So I'm so grateful for it, because, you know, even that rock bottom I shared, the bottom fell out of that rock bottom like 10 other times that I can't even tell you. So it was like, oh, I'm at the bottom. And then it's like, no, you're not. Now you're like, it's just getting worse. So, and I'm so grateful, like, honestly, best thing that has ever happened to us, to completely lose everything and shift our paradigm and shift our trajectory. So from there, you know, then I'm the 30, 31 years old. That's when I found network marketing, which rocked my world and changed my life, because I just saw that other women who were just like me were able to make 6 and 7 figures. And I added it to my business because I knew it would really help with my business. And then once I saw that money coming in, I'm just like really high leveling this, just so you know, because this journey was insane and very, like, so much self-development had to occur within that to even be able to do that type of sales. Because network marketing, you know, can have a stigma, and I had to bust through that, which took me a little while.
I just am nodding. I'm saying, I wonder if that's just a natural process, if it's different for men versus women, or like getting through that mental barrier. But keep going on your journey. So after you broke through the network marketing, then what?
That's when I really realized, I mean, I knew that my passion was, fitness, and I loved self-development for myself, but the more that I was training women, the more that I was becoming this, like, you know, people were starting to know who I was in the fitness world. What happened was people were not getting results if we weren't talking about mindset. It's like, I could train people. I could literally have clients who trained every day during the week, 5 times a week. And if we didn't work more on mindset than the body, nothing was changing. And it wasn't sticking. It's like, we could get some results, but the weight would go back on if they would stop, you know, working out or doing the push. So I was like, all right, I have to implement mindset into all of my stuff. Well, fast forward, and mindset has changed my life so much in self-development. I now have all these amazing tools for, you know, this panic, this anxiety. I've changed my life so much. I went from thinking I couldn't make money to making, you know, multiple 7 figures through money mindset, through self-development, and also being the person who can handle having money like that, because that is a huge, I mean, it just rocks your whole world, right? It's like, you have to become a different person, or you will lose all that money, or you'll,
right.
it can change the way that you are doing anything. So, from there, that's when I said, you know what, this has been like, network marketing is the most beautiful platform for me, and seed money to be able to start this other business that I'm so passionate about. And that was women's events to change just, you know, their mindset, self-development, really talk about fitness as a foundation, but mainly all self-development and connection. And that's really where the tribe feel came in, because I was doing these incredible events. Now, don't get me wrong, that is a very long journey as well, but this is we don't have a long time. So I was doing these women's events, and they were like freaking out and cracking open and like, wow, I feel so connected to these women. This is the most connected I've ever felt to people in my life. And then they leave and they're like, I don't know how to keep the magic going. I don't know how to recreate the magic in the room. And that is when finally, you know, 5 years later, I decided to write a book that acted as the facilitator that I act as on stage, so that they can take this back. Let it be the facilitator of deep connection. Let them use it as the invitation. Let them blame the book for, you know, when problems come up in the tribe, they can actually refer back to it and be like, hey, let's check this out. Or let's go look at these tools. Or let's see if we're committed to, you know, allowing it to be the thing that's like, oh, we committed to these, and look, maybe this commitment's being broken. But that's where the book came from.
And I love how, I want to go back a little bit before getting into the book. And I, you know, talked about, you have your event, and then now you have your book, but you had mentioned about, you know, we talked about the different stages and then the mindset shift and being able to receive the money. I would love, like, give us an example of, you know, one really large mindset shift for you that was almost as a light bulb moment as you were going through the growth mindset. And how did it like manifest physically? Did you need a change?
Oh, okay. So there was so many things that I realized in my life where I was in fear around money and in lack. Mm-hmm. I honestly remember starting to practice how I felt when I'd go to the grocery store. And I know that just about everyone might be nodding their heads when I say we're in line or we're looking at what Greek yogurt to buy. And we're like, damn, that Greek yogurt's expensive. Like,
yes.
Why is Greek yogurt $8? Like, what is going on?
Well, my mom used to, like, when we go to the grocery store as kids and I'm like, I want apples. And she's like, those things are expensive. And I'm like, yep. Oh, okay. Yes, mm-hmm. Totally.
So I started practicing on little things like that. And I was like, I tried to not even look at the price. I would try to consciously get what I wanted and what I would use. And I would also observe if I was feeling like, if I was not getting too much, but just being excessive, like just go get what you want and don't look at the price and just go check out without being like, oh my God, how much is it going to be? And be so grateful for the money that you have and the money that you're putting into the universe and the fact that you're getting these beautiful things that were created by these incredible people so that you can go and nurture your soul, like shift your paradigm into gratitude. So I started doing that and that was amazing because that's an abundant mindset, right? Like you're practicing abundance in that area. And I'm telling you, the small things like that will help you start looking at bigger things. And then what I started to do is if I would look at programs that I wanted to do, or if I would look at what women were charging for programs, if I wanted to see like how much things were, or if I wanted to do this program or how I wanted to price mine. And if I ever thought, oh my God, that's expensive, I would say, oh my gosh, I love that they are charging that much. That is so valuable. And one day I will be able to charge that much and I will see all of my value. Mm-hmm. And that shifted everything for me. I stopped nickel and diming myself to death on the cheaper things that didn't get me the results that I wanted. And I went for the stuff that stretched me. And I said, okay, this is what I actually want. This is the results that I know that I'm going to get. How can I make sure, like, what are some creative ideas that I can do to create the money for this? Instead of saying that's too expensive, I'd say, how can I get bigger than this problem? And I just started to stretch.
Mm-hmm. I love the, how can I get bigger than this problem? How did then, from a business standpoint, operationally, what needed to happen in your business in order for you to continually growing over time? Like if you can give us an example of, I don't know, maybe it's your email subscription list, you had to change that, or what did you have to get ready for in order to receive it operationally?
In order to receive the money or in order to receive like the amount of people coming in?
The amount of people coming in and the growth that you've had and, you know, the businesses and the events and everything. Just when you look at your business from an operation standpoint, what was something that needed to change in order for you to have capacity to handle it?
Oh, I had to hire a team before I felt ready. I had to give somebody a salary. I had to pay them what I wanted them to feel. I had to pay a value of what I wanted them to show up for long before I felt ready. I hired an assistant before I thought that I had the money for it. And it was game changing because I was wasting all of my energy. Look at where you're at. Look what you're doing. Look what you feel robs you of your energy the most. And go and hire someone right now for that thing, honestly, because they will pay, it will pay you back tenfold. But that's where the abundant mindset has to come in. You have to know and believe it in your gut that if you hire this person, number one, you're putting more money out into the world for a beautiful thing. You're paying someone to help you. And to just be so incredibly grateful for that. But then look at all the time that's freed up. Mm-hmm. And now you can create even more. So that's a really huge thing is that we hired team and we're still hiring team before we feel ready. We need to hire another person now.
That's such great advice too, because I think a lot of times, and even sometimes I still find myself at points of, wanting to wait until everything's perfect and then be able to get it into alignment. But you're saying sometimes you have to jump before it's ready.
Always. I mean, that's my advice always.
Yeah. So I want to wrap up. We got about 5 minutes left. I want to do, I always do a rapid fire round. So these are really quick answers. And tell us, what is something in your life that is a non-negotiable?
Non-negotiables for me are walking. I know so many why walking. It's just, it moves energy through, anything stuck in your body. It's amazing for your relationships. It's creative energy that you're going to get when you're out in nature. There's so much scientific research around why you should walk every day.
Mm-hmm. And then what is one thing that you get your inspiration from?
Walking.
What? I love it. I know, you know, sometimes I used to think walking, I'm like, oh, I don't have time to walk. I need to get in the gym and I got to do this and that. But like so much good comes from walking when you can just get fresh air and just get the body moving. What is something that you believe that others may think is insane?
That for real, we can do anything that we want and the only limit is us. So I could put a number out there right now. And if I really leaned into, you know, as far as what I could make or what I can do in the world or how many books I want to sell, whatever it is. And truly, I know the only thing standing in the way is my belief. So if I focused on working on it, I believe that everybody, if they just really worked on believing, they could do whatever they want.
Mm-hmm. And then what is the best $100 or less purchase one can make in their business that you've made?
Oh, 100. Oh my God. This is a good question. Oh my gosh. $100 purchase they could make in their business. Could we take that and pay a virtual assistant?
Amen.
To get some of your tasks done.
Yes.
That's the best.
I love it. I love it. And then I always ask every guest what their favorite book is. And so I want you to share more about your book that just came out. Like, where are you traveling to? I know you're going on tour. Where can they find it? And anything else that you want to share with us?
Awesome. Okay. My book is at atribecalledbliss.com. And I'm so excited about it because I know I don't care if you have an amazing business. I don't care if you're just starting a business. If you want to take your connections in your life a little bit deeper, if you have a group of friends that you want to connect more, if you don't have a group of friends at all, this book is going to be amazing. Honestly, it's about relationships, but most of all, it's about the relationship with yourself. I love what we ended up talking about on this podcast because there is a lot about abundance and mindset and lack and what that looks like and how to just create more abundance and being the most authentic version of you to attract the people and the things that you want in your life. So I'm just really, really thrilled about it because of all of the feedback so far. And it's been really exciting. And I'll tell you where I'm going.
Yeah. Quick,
sorry. We're doing LA next week. So LA, Boston, New York, Minneapolis, and Toronto.
Okay. Oh my goodness. That is so, so exciting. I am over the moon for you. I mean, I can't even imagine writing a book and the discipline and keeping forth. How long did it take you to from start to finish?
This is a long story, but I'm going to summarize it quick. Technically, I started writing it 4 years ago. Once I got the book deal, I read the book, or I ended up reading the book that I wrote over those 4 years, and I threw it in the garbage, and I wrote this book in about 8 months. So I've been practicing for it.
Oh my gosh. I love it. I love it. Lori, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really, really appreciate your energy and everything that you brought today. And we will link in the show notes so that my listeners can access all the information and they can go check out the book as well. But thank you so much for coming on the podcast today.
So grateful for you, and you are amazing, and I'm just honored. So thank you.
Again, if you're just starting out with your business and you need an accounting software that is simple and easy to use, check out FreshBooks at freshbooks.com/she and enter in She Did It Her Way in the How Did You Hear About Us box. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's podcast episode. For more information, check out shedidherway.com. And if you enjoyed today's episode, I would love for you to leave me a review on iTunes and let me know what you think. Until next time, keep doing it your way.